Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Мною принято решение о проведении специальной военной операции.
We are under attack. It is an attack against Western democracies and on the institutions that bind them.
What Russia is much more interested in doing is depicting the West as a failure.
Regiment President Yanukovych, they were trying to protect their enormous wealth.
This is Kremlin File.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Kremlin File. Hi, Mo.
How are you? Hey, I've got my coffee cup. Look.
Oh, so do I.
All righty.
I just wanted our listeners to know that we are starting a new thing. And every weekend, we will be releasing a mini episode where we basically do a weekend review on all the top stories relating to Ukraine and Russia. I know that there's so much news between so many conflicts across the globe and, you know, domestic news for people in U.S., across Europe, that here we'll just quickly go through the headlines. And then on our Substack, we'll put in the show notes all the news articles relating to the headlines that we mentioned for anyone else who, you know, for anyone who wants to dig further into it.
That's right. There's some stories that I'm sure that everybody is familiar with, but there are some stories that we'll probably be talking about that very, very few people pay attention to, okay, in the legacy media. So this is why Olga and I decided, okay, let's do this. And that way it's also a little chattier and no less informal than our other interviews. So we're going to try to have fun. OK, with this,
in fact,
let's hit with the first story. Beep, 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 beep. Breaking news. Actually, this out today. The U.S. announced that over 500 sanctions, OK, are going to be applied against Russian targets for Russia's murder of Navalny, and also the upcoming, OK, 2-year full scale murders war in Ukraine. Chinese, Turkish, and Indian companies were sanctioned for doing business, okay, with Russia. So this is the first one that we, and it just came through on our emails. So very happy about that.
Yeah, and this is actually very good news. Obviously, the sanctions, US and EU, and basically the whole international community needs to tighten sanctions, and the fact that they are now targeting countries who are helping Russia bypass these sanctions is good. But ultimately, send weapons to Ukraine. I'd be much happier if I read a headline that 500 long-range ballistic missiles are on their way to Ukraine, because this is what Ukraine needs right now.
Exactly.
The next story we're keeping an eye on is on Thursday of this week, the Department of Justice indicted one of the largest, the heads of the largest banks in Russia, VTB Bank. They indicted Kostin. He obviously can't get arrested because he's hiding out in Russia, but they did manage to arrest two of his associates in the United States who have been helping him, bypass sanctions and whatnot. So that's also very good news because, you know, we are seeing more and more frequent arrests on U.S. soil. So keep the arrests coming. We need more of them. That way, these Russian operatives understand you cannot use the United States for means to carry out, you know, operations and launder money, you know, or high-level officials in Russia.
Yep, I just wish that more European countries would do the same, especially because here in Italy, for example, there are companies that are still dealing, okay, with Russia. Some very famous companies that were operating. They still are in Donetsk. So this is something, okay, that needs to be addressed. We've raised a lot of awareness with this. There are two politicians that are now starting to wake up, very vociferous, and they're going after. They're starting to talk about it. So hopefully that will translate into more concrete action. Okay,
Good.
then story number three. Well, this was from last week, but we thought we'd mention it again. The Munich Security Conference, which was held and which saw all, let's say, of the top defense and national security figures, okay, leaders in different countries coming together talking about, firstly, okay, Ukraine, because that's at the top of the agenda. Another thing that came out, and I think the most important outcome, was that now it seems that Europe is starting to wake up, especially because of what Trump has said in the past, okay, 2 weeks, doubling down once again about bringing, that question mark on NATO, which I think is absolutely absurd. And they're starting to finally think that we need to ramp things up in Europe.
And encouraging Russia to attack a NATO country. So I
Yes,
mean, yes. So I'm happy
absolutely
that
crazy.
Europe is finally waking up to the threat that Russia might potentially, launch a war against a NATO country in Europe, and that potentially the United States should, God forbid, Trump come back to office, that we might be complicit in assisting Russia in launching a war or just looking the other way.
That's right. Another thing I'll just add to this is that there is now some talk of getting an EU defense commissioner, this kind of position in the future. So I don't know if it's just going to add to more bureaucracy or whatever it is, but it seems to be something, okay, a sign of the times. So let's just put it that way. Okay, story number four, Olga.
Speaking of arming Ukraine, there have been so many heartbreaking stories and the need for the ammo shortage they're suffering. I mean, it is breaking my heart seeing headline after headline of Ukrainian soldiers on the front lines begging, the international community to send them, ammo and weapons. And we saw this, result in the fall of Avdiivka, which is the first town that Russia has seized, since the successful counteroffensive that Ukraine carried out. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Bakhmut they took a year ago, and then this. So Ukraine has been doing an excellent job holding, Russia back. But I mean, holding Russia back is not enough. It shouldn't be for as long as it takes. It should be we need to arm Ukraine, let them finish this war so we can all move on and get every single Russian out of Ukrainian soil.
Absolutely.
So I think that's extremely important. And then what is more disheartening and frankly reprehensible is the fact that, the Speaker Johnson decided to send Congress on vacation. They have been blockading aid since October, Speaker Johnson since November. So now they felt it was a good time to go take a vacation, for a few weeks. And I mean, this is not only with basically the world on fire and, Russia just murdered one of their critics, and you have, multiple conflicts, on the horizon and currently happening. But we also have in the United States, we need to keep the government open, and that expires in a few weeks. So, when he gets back, he literally has a few days to get his psycho caucus on, to sign
Gonna
off.
put that out. The psycho caucus. That's gold.
No,
Gold, Olga.
but it is to get
I
to keep our
know.
government open, and we need our government open because we at the same time have the FBI warning of, various threats for US homeland. And during his vacation, if that's not bad enough, he decided to go and show, loyalty to Trump and showed up at Mar-a-Lago. So I mean,
That's it.
hopefully sometime this year in 2024, Republicans will get back to work and actually start working for the American people and doing passing some kind of bill, bills that are critical both for domestic and foreign policy.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, maybe he went down to go and get those little golden running shoes. I think
Maybe,
that's what he went down to do. That's what I think. Okay, on to the next one. Beep, 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 beep. So shortly, okay, after news came out that Putin ordered no Navalny, okay, to be killed, news came out from Spain that Russia sent a hitman to murder a Russian defector who flew his plane into Ukraine last year. I think everybody will remember this story because he's a defector. And no, it hit. I remember seeing stories on Russian Telegram channels, and it was just absolutely incredible. It blew up, literally. What do we know about this? What do we know about this, Olga? Do we know anything else except for this?
Well, besides the fact that he was shot several times
Yeah, and run
and
over.
run over because that wasn't enough. This comes on the heels of, Navalny being murdered. So you now see murder happening in Spain. You will see more murders abroad.
More hits.
Russian security services carrying out more murders abroad. And at the same time, we had another murder, or what looks to be a murder of a Russian military blogger who, frankly, is, was despicable. But interestingly enough, he had revealed the real numbers of how many Russian troops died in, to take Avdiivka, which is upwards of 16,000, whereas Shoigu, the Russia's defense minister domestically, is, running around and praising what a wonderful operation. They barely lost any military. And then he died literally, I think it was within a day or two, by suicide. And they even put his suicide
The
note
note.
on the Telegram channel.
Of course.
Oh, we'll see. I
Now,
mean, to me, it looks like he got killed, and then that also shows Putin and the Kremlin reining in military bloggers who are reporting a little too much and too honestly about, Russia's genocide operations in Ukraine.
Just to add, before they allowed Russian bloggers, right in the beginning, to sort of talk up and stuff like that. Then, the gauntlet came down around Prigozhin, around his death. There's a little Italian spin on this story because it was released on a channel, on a website that turns out that this guy has been traveling back and forth. Okay, to Moscow. He's in Moscow now. I don't think he's going to come back after this because he got outed on Italian television. Apparently, his website had all the wrong information, had a fake address, and the whole business. And he was asked point blank on television by a former Italian Secret Service, okay, officer, high level guy, if he's actually working for the Russians themselves. So that blew up, okay, in the past few days. So moving on to the next one, and this, okay, is about
My story
Elon.
that I'm obsessed with the week.
Exactly. Well, it's a huge story. This is probably the biggest story that nobody has been paying attention to, and I think so. And this is about the son of one of the most powerful people in Russia. Okay, Ivan Sesshin, who's the son of Igor Sesshin. He died February the 5th. So this story didn't come out very quickly. They sat on it for a
No,
while.
they didn't even sit on it if they sat
Nothing.
on it. There's a complete media blackout on
On it.
it. And the only reason that it came out is because someone was tipped off to look at the Russian inheritance registry, or the heir registry. And that's the only reason that it came out. He was registered that he died February 5th. Other than that, there's no mention. They even tampered with the Russian registry after a few Russian outlets, opposition outlets overseas, picked up on this news. They removed him from the registry, then they put him back and removed the date of death. So, I mean, the whole story is bizarre.
There's another thing, too. There's another death that we forgot about. Ivanov. No?
I actually, when I read the news, I got excited. I thought it was Viktor Ivanov, the drug smuggler, Putin's Ivanov, who, you know, used to head the drug agency. But this is actually Andropov's Viktor Ivanov, who was one of, you know, his high level officials during the time Andropov was in power. He died. That looks to be natural causes. He was 80 years old, and it's basically,
okay,
you know,
so it's not the guy
Soviet.
Who was 70 years old. Okay, no.
Yeah,
right.
No.
I thought it was
he's 80, and it's, you know, the old Soviet guard, you know,
okay.
Moving on.
Okay, moving on. Next. Go ahead, Olga.
So another interesting story, and finally, well, long overdue. The EU sanctioned an FSB general over his role in carrying out operations to destabilize Moldova to overthrow the Western Sandu government. And for those who haven't been paying attention on Moldova, I mean, there have been stories of, you know, not only did Russian intelligence carry out operations inside of Moldova, you know, disinformation operations, but they also sent agents to carry out, you know, like violence during protest, organized protest. And then there came plans that they wanted to violently overthrow the Sandu government to install, you know, a Kremlin-friendly one. So finally, EU took notice, and this FSB general has been sanctioned. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how many more, because there definitely is a whole unit inside of Russia that is focused on Moldova. So we'll see where that goes.
There was also news, I think it was today, about how either the Russian government or is it the Transnistrian people are going to be asking Russia for recognition. That came out. What's that all about?
So this has been ongoing for a few years, since 22, where Russia now wants to, you know, recognize the Transnistria, which it's been illegally occupying for the past few decades. So now they, you know, claim that they will again, you know, sign a law. But I don't know if this is really going to happen or if this is more bluster from Russia, because, I mean, it's been 2 years. And frankly, you know, I honestly can't wait for Transnistria to, you know, go back to Moldova, because it is one of the first country, you know, territories that was annexed and occupied by Russia.
1993, if I'm not mistaken. From what am I reading? Now, while the West is taking their time to send long-range missiles to Ukraine, dictators, let me repeat that, dictators, work on a timely schedule, as news out of Iran, that we're learning now, that Iran has joined North Korea in supplying Russia with ballistic missiles to murder more Ukrainians, So we're waiting for a response now from the international community. Let's wait a little longer. That is greater than just, what we're concerned. Whatever it is. So that, in fact, has hit. Various news stories are carrying it. So this is, we're going to see, what is happening. So very, very concerning.
And speaking of sanctions on, you know, North Korea, the UN, of course, sanctioned North Korea and has, and I will remind this every single day, that they have Russia sitting as a permanent member on the UN Security Council and basically buying weapons from North Korea that, you know, that is sanctioned by the UN. So I'm not sure how UN, you know, I don't even think they care. If their own sanctions are violated. But and then the more absurd news, Putin sent Kim Jong-un, a car, $500,000 car. And that's another sanctions violation because you cannot have luxury goods moved into North Korea. And I would assume a $500,000 car is...
I think so. I think it's in that category. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Next. Dee, 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 dee. Go ahead.
So this one is a very interesting one. We are all following the case of the former FBI informant, Alexander Smirnov, who has been arrested for providing Congress with information that he obtained against the Bidens from Russian intelligence. What is more fascinating is the response from media, as if they just woke up today and realized that Republicans, certain, again, not the whole Republican Party, but certain
That's right.
Republicans have been peddling Russian disinformation obtained from Russian intelligence sources, that it just started. I mean, I remember, monitoring very closely, following, documenting, and getting information on when Giuliani and his, crew were running around Ukraine in 2018, 19, 20, and working with a Russian intelligence officer. I mean, Giuliani approached Andriy Derkach, who, is now Ukraine has charged him with treason, and he fled Ukraine showed evidence that he's a Russian agent, as well as U.S. Intel at the time had warned lawmakers Giuliani that, to stay away because this is Russian intelligence disinformation. So I'm kind of more, I don't know what's the bigger story, that Smirnov received information, from Russian intelligence that he peddled to Congress, or
right.
that Giuliani back then received the same exact information from Russian intelligence that he sought out. He went to them in order to provide to Senator Johnson, Bill Barr, and several others who then actively were repeating this information. I mean, it's interesting. Another case of amnesia, but at least we do know that Congress, some House Republicans and Senate Republicans have no qualms about using Russian intelligence to further their own goals.
Yeah. Now they're just trying to spin it in another way. They've hit the airwaves and they've hit TV and the whole business. But the fact remains that this is what they're doing. So we need to keep that in mind. Now, the last thing, that we're going to talk about it's just actually a reminder, to everyone. We're going to be putting a link in the Substack, in the show notes for this episode. And it's about the March for Ukrainian Victory, which is going to be held on February the 24th. And we're going to be putting a link so that you can find out in your city, because they've put all of the cities where this is going to be done. It's worldwide. Okay. I saw the map itself from Australia all the way. Okay. Europe. All the way into the States and also into South America. So check to see in your city where the march is, what time it is. Get out there, please, please, and show, your support, all right, for Ukraine.
Support and that solidarity for Ukraine and democracy.
Of course, of course, of course. Okay, so that's it.
That wraps up our week in review.
Beep, beep,
and
beep, beep,
for all the stories that we mentioned, we will have news links for them for anyone who wants to read further. And tune in, and we'll be doing this every week, and we'll be dropping a week in review.
And just as a reminder, on Thursdays, our new episodes drop every Thursday. So you can go and check that out. Last week, the episode from last week was with a great, 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 Andrea Chalupa of Gaslit Nation. Go and check that out. And next week, it's going to be a surprise. So you'll find out.
And don't forget to subscribe to Kremlin Files Substack. We have all our show notes there, all the episodes, and, other supplemental materials that we will be providing even more as we come closer to elections in the United States and Europe.
Okay, so that's us saying goodbye to everybody and
have a great weekend.
That's it. Bye-bye. and you'd like to help us out with our independent work, please subscribe to Kremlin File on Substack and on our YouTube channel. Kremlin File is hosted by Olga Lautman and me, Monique Kamara. Our production team is headed by Maddie Kaparov